Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
Come to the river. Thank you.
Along, those of you who have a prayer language, go into the veil. We can get to heaven now. We don't have to wait till we die. Realize that? We can walk right through the veil these four open to us. Let's go in. Back everything that the enemy has stolen from you tonight.
Na, 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 na.
it up.
Taking back our families, taking back our church, taking back our children, we're taking back their worth. Taking back our teachers, taking back our schools in Jesus'
name.
Taking back our government,
taking back
our wealth, we're taking back your promises, we're taking back our health.
Taking
back our wisdom,
taking
back our peace and our joy. Taking back our freedom,
take it back.
Taking back our, the truth. Taking back everything the devil stole and away.
Take it back, now. By the blood of Jesus. That's right. That's right.
No legal right.
The angels are helping us. The angels are helping us in the room take it back. Taking back the stuff that was stolen.
I do a song now about the prodigal son. Actually, when I got done with this song, I realized it was about me, but I also realized it's about a lot of us who have backslidden at some point.
Still far off.
and so merciful.
Amen.
So good and so merciful.
Yes, He is.
So good. He never gives up on us.
Amen.
He'll always take us back. No matter what we've done, He always wants us back. Always.
Hallelujah.
The veil is torn. All we got to do is walk through no matter what we feel
That's
like.
That's right. That's right. Let's be still for a while because I think the Holy Spirit's wanting to do some healing in the room. Okay. What do you want? What do you need? Holy Spirit's here for you right now. Reach out and grab what it is you're needing. Wait on Him. Receive everything He has for you. He wants you whole. He wants you well. Not because we ask not. God set it up so that we ask. We need to ask Him. And He wants to give us everything we need. While the atmosphere is charged and His presence is here, make your request to Him now. Make your request to Him now. He wants you to have it. Armies went into war, they sent the worshipers out first. Isn't that interesting? Worship cut through to allow the victory to happen. That's what's going on here in the room tonight. The worship is kicking the darkness out of here. Kicking the darkness out of your life. Everything's counterintuitive in the kingdom compared to this earth. It says labor to rest. Isn't that interesting? Labor to rest. Because it's in rest that your soul is restored and that the Holy Spirit can come and fill it, all those cracks up in your whole broken system. We rest in Him. And hope that you have carved out a little niche in your life, that you rest alone in your quiet place. Because the more that you do that, the more that you hunger and thirst for Him and get to know Him, the more He's going to show up and make Himself known and tell you how much He loves you. We can't get close to the Lord if we don't carve out a little niche in a place in our daily life. Don't let this society make you so busy that you can't carve out some time to be alone with them. Find that little spot. Maybe it's up in a tree. Maybe it's in your bedroom in the morning. Jesus got up in the morning, went out to a mountain. Get out there. It's called the disciplines of the faith. We don't just get there by waiting and wishing for it to happen. We have to do something too. We got to co-labor with the Holy Spirit. We own part of what happens to our spiritual life by the disciplines that we begin to engage in. I don't want to move out of what's going on here. So if other people have any testimony, because we're all pulling on the Spirit together. This doesn't happen by one person's will or flesh. This happens as a corporate unit right now that's hungry. I see a lot of you people have been hungry, or you wouldn't be here on a Wednesday night. You've been hungry for years. And you know what? Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, what's God's promise? You will be filled. You hunger and thirst for righteousness, you come out on a Wednesday night. God sees that, and He's happy. He's pleased with people that take that initiative. Continue to do that. Continue to stay hungry. There's new territory that the Lord is trying to take during this time. We're in the latter rain. You understand that, right? We're in the latter rain. The latter rain's greater than the former rain. He's about ready to do something. We need to position ourselves to go there with Him. Okay? Holly had a great message last Wednesday, for those of you who were here. She made some declarations. And I want to kind of check in with you guys and ask you, has anything shifted since Holly's message Wednesday? Did the Holy Spirit touch your heart and tell you something about what you need to do? And have you started to take those steps? Is anything unusual starting to take place? We don't want to stand before Jesus at the end of our lives and say, you know, but didn't I do this and this and this for you? And have somebody come back, you know, a voice come back and say, depart from me, I never knew you. Man, that scares me. Okay? I don't want to hear that. So we need to be proactive and take steps on, well, what does it mean to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit? Am I keyed in? Am I starting to make the Holy Spirit my best friend? You know, I hear that in this ministry. You know, Lori and Holly are asking questions of the Holy Spirit all the time. How often do you have that dialogue with the Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit, what's going on here? And then you wait. And maybe He won't tell you right away. But as you move through, somehow He's going to answer your questions. He doesn't want it to be this big mystery. He wants our He wants our affection. He's a jealous God. What have we put in place? What have we put in place that needs to be taken out? And this is one of the things that I got hit with last week in her message. And it's, again, counterintuitive kind of thing, but I thought, you know, that my job in life was to be successful. So I did a lot to try to be successful in my career as a teacher and a coach. And I had a lot of victories and stuff. But what I'm finding now is I'd rather stand and deliver a message than sit here and prepare it for a week and a half and be all nervous about it. I'd rather just stand up here and wait for the Holy Spirit to give me what I'm supposed to say to you guys. That's called stand and deliver. It's a different approach. You know, I'm waiting on the Spirit to tell me what to say. And I've got all these notes that I wrote down, but I'm not going to go doing much of them because the Spirit's moving in a different way right now. And so I want to follow the lead of the Holy Spirit. And the testimonies, there's two words in the Greek for word. One is logos. The other is rhema. Okay, logos is when you're reading the Bible, and you're reading, and you know, because reading the word is alive, right? Everybody in here understands that the word is alive, and the word is a rock, and the word is truth, and Jesus is the word. You guys all get that, right? So it behooves us to make the word our final authority on any question that we have, on anything that's going on in our lives. We come back to the Word. It's our rock. It's our solid place. It's our solid foundation when everything's, you know, emotionally racked up and the winds and the rains are coming and they're beating upon your house and you got all these circumstances. We should be striving to be mature enough to where we're steadfast and immovable to all that stuff. There should be no storm that takes us out. If we're walking close to Jesus and if we're studying and staying in the Word, we're going to be able to resist. You know, we're going to be able to walk in the armor of the Spirit, the belt of the truth, the shoes of peace, breastplate of righteousness, shield of faith, helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit, and prayers, all kinds of prayer. If we're walking in that every day, there is nothing that can really take us out. Because He's given us authority. Do you guys realize you have all the authority that you need to fight every one of your battles? The enemy wants to check on you once in a while to see if you believe that. You know? And if he can lie to you, that's all he's got. If he can lie to you and put a circumstance in there and magnify that circumstance and try to take you out through that circumstance, he wins. And you lose on that one. We got to start fighting our circumstances with the Word of God and saying, no, I'm not taking that. I'm sending that one back. That one's not for me. I'm sending it right back. I'm not going to take that. So my testimony, just briefly, is the one that I got from Holly that was for me was, you can't be self-reliant and be a strong Christian. I thought, you know, that's what I was supposed to do because my dad was a man of willpower and he made it big from Chicago to a vice president of the company. And I tried to kind of follow in his footsteps, but you know what? That gets in our way. At some point in your faith, living in your own self-reliance is going to make you proud, arrogant, and is going to squeeze out what the Holy Spirit wants to do in you, you know? Because the Holy Spirit wants to co-labor with me. I'm done living my life the way I did for the last 50 years or whatever. I want new territory. I want to see signs and wonders. I want to see in the Spirit. Okay? God's allowed me to start hearing in the Spirit. Fascinating. I can speak a little bit of my prayer language and ask Him what I just said. Ask Jesus what I just said in my prayer language, and He'll tell me. Now that's a lot of guidance, and that's a lot of that's a lot of assurance to go through this world with. And now I'm finding that through some of the books that we're reading, there's other things I've never even thought about before. Do you guys know Lori is a seer, right? She sees in the Spirit. She can see demons and angels. You know, and I thought, wow, that's kind of a rare gift. I don't know if that's ever even possible to get. But there's a guy named Blake Healy. that's put out three books that are very powerful that talk about seeing in the Spirit. And if you're interested at all in that gift, I'd highly recommend these books. I'm devouring them. I'm gobbling them up, and it's one read isn't enough for me. I got to go back and read it again, see what I missed, because they're just fascinating what God wants to show us. And Blake, a thing that Blake says that is counter to a lot of what religion says is that you can have all the gifts if you want them. A lot of people say, well, you just got your dominant gift, you know, you're an evangelist and a teacher, but no. You can have any gift that God wants to lay it on you. If you're hungry for it, ask Him for it. If you want to learn how to heal, ask Him for the gift. Holy Spirit, what do I need to do? Do you know that every one of us in here could raise somebody from the dead if they dropped dead in the aisle right now? Any of you. Not just, you know, the people that have been educated and, you know, have a pastor's degree on them. We have that kind of authority because we have the Holy Spirit inside of us. Every one of us have the Holy Spirit inside of us. And that's the crazy victory that Jesus won that the devil, if he'd have known, would have never let it pass because now he's multiplied himself through all of us. Right? Think about that. He's multiplied himself through every one of us. Greater works shall you do, he said. Now, how's that possible? It's only possible because Jesus lives inside of me. The Holy Spirit lives inside of me in the form of the Holy Spirit, and I have the mind of Christ. It also tells us we have the mind of Christ. How many of us believe that or are tapping into that? We need to start believing that, and then we need to tap into it. Then we need to take authority and realize that there is no demon on the face of the earth that can take you down. A lot of people are scared of the boogeyman. We have nothing to fear because Jesus defeated that boogeyman 10 times over and he's got nothing on me. So I'm not afraid of demons. You know, if somebody's got a demon, let's kick them out, man. Cast them out. Be gone, you foul, wicked thing. Get out of here. And he has to listen to me. That because God put us in that kind of authority. He put him first, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, the angels, us, then Satan and all his henchmen. And that's the order. So if the devil walked in here right now, we could command him to leave and he'd have to turn tail and run. Don't be tormented by any dark presence. You have the authority to kick him right out. Same goes for your illnesses. A lot of people think that healing was only for the days that the apostles were around. But God is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And he wants us healed. He wants all of us healed. So you can, life and death are in the power of the tongue. You can speak to the mountain of your illness, whatever that may be. You can speak to it and tell it to go by the blood and the power of Jesus Christ, and it's going to have to leave. Okay, now, and by faith, all things are possible. So if it hasn't gone yet, don't stop. Don't stop. You keep pounding that rock till it becomes dust. Okay? You keep pounding that until you're free, because God wants you to live a long, healthy, abundant life. He does not want you to be taken out before your time. Now, a lot of religions are going to say, well, it's God's business when I die. No, he's left that to us in our faith because he's already wills that we be healthy. Isn't that wonderful? He wills that we have abundant life. He's a God of more than enough. We have a God of more than enough. And I just want to, I got a little time left. I want to tell you just a little bit about how I'm putting this to the test because I ran into a tree a year and a half ago. And I've been an adventurous person all my life, so I've climbed 14,000 foot mountains in Colorado. There's 54 of them to climb. If I climb them all, it's called a Grand Slam. Well, it's something I've wanted to do all my life. And the enemy wanted to take me out. So I hit a tree and I busted my leg and broke my femur, crushed my left hip, broke all my ribs and my sternum in this accident. And I lost a lot of blood and I was, at one point, I don't know if they thought I'd make it or not. But, you know, God said, no, it's not his time. And I have so many people to thank that stood in the gap, prayed me through this. And I want to give you guys hope, because I'm sitting here a year and a half later, and now Mary and I, you know, we've been through a lot this past year and a half, and we wanted to go somewhere. So we celebrated about 2 weeks ago a sailing trip in the Virgin Islands. We sailed 70 miles with a captain and his wife. It was just me and Mary and a captain and his wife, 70 miles through the Virgin Islands. And we snorkeled together, holding hands, seeing all this these beautiful fish and coral that God's created. I don't know if any of you have ever had that blessing to be under the water, to see, to be like you're in an aquarium. But it is glorious. And then I asked God, because I'm a risk taker, so I asked God, could you think it'd be all right for me to scuba dive? I wasn't sure whether my leg would handle it. And he let me scuba dive. I went down on a two-tank, 50-foot deep scuba dive. And I just want to tell you the highlight of this, because on most of my adventures, I ask the Holy Spirit to come with me. I don't want to just do it by myself. I want him to experience how wonderful I think his creation is. So I invite him to come with me, you know. His creation is a portal or a window for me in terms of experiencing him. I'm an artist and an art teacher, so I see the beauty in his creation. So I'm swimming along, and the dive master is, you know, wants us to stay kind of close to him and stuff like that. And so I'm sitting here using my air, and here's this paradise all around me. You know, these coral beds and all these fish. And I was seeing fish that I'd seen species of fish that I'd never seen before. And the way the light was flickering on them. And the way that everything was going, it was like God was taking me out of this world and putting me into his for a moment. And I was just in paradise. And he gave me that. And that's why I say, you know, God is a more than enough God. Because I actually felt happiness. And I haven't felt happiness for a very long time. And I felt happy. I forgot what that felt like. My God, was that wonderful. We're we're sailing along, you know, no motor on the boat. It's a 52-foot sailboat going, cutting through the water with the wind as free as a bird, man. It was just a blessing. So I wanted to share that with you because God's not finished with me, and I'm going to take back territory. I'm going to take back a lot of territory for the way that evil one thought he was going to take me out. You know, God's on my side, and I want to see this place mobbed and packed with people. Because there's a lot of people out there that are hungry for what we've got. A lot of hurting people, a lot of hurting neighbors we have that need Jesus so bad. And we've got the answer. And now we're armed and dangerous because we just got forgiven of all our sins. So we need to go open our mouths, man. Go out into your world and open your mouth and invite them to this service or your church or whatever it is. And be the ambassadors that he's made us to be. You know, we're princesses and kings and queens, right? We are. You know, he tore the veil open. And when he tore the veil open, no longer do we have to go through a priest to get into heaven. He's waiting for us with open arms going, why don't you come in? I love you. Come on in. I want you. And he's so personal. He wants you there just the way he knows how to get to your heart. He wants you in his kingdom. And you know, you can go there anytime. You don't have to wait till you die. No religious place I ever went to ever told me that. I had to learn it here through Holly and Lori. And I've been coming to these things for 17 years, and I'm telling you, I go there now, finally. I got jealous. I go, why can they go to heaven? Why can't I go to heaven? Well, guess what? You can. God's not a respecter of persons. You can go into heaven tomorrow in your quiet place. Put on a little soaking music. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you how to get in to His heavenly realms. And He'll take you around. He'll take you on a journey. And you'll know it's not your mind inventing it, because you won't see stuff that your mind could invent. Ephesians 3:20, Joe, do you remember that by heart? So I have it somewhere.
To do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask, think, or even imagine.
That's a rhema word. She knows that by heart. Okay, she knows that verse by heart because it's so important to her. It's so important to Joe and I, that verse. I mean, that's a rhema word. That when I was going back and telling you about logos and rhema, when you get a word from God from the Bible and it just poof, slams you up against a wall and you go, oh my gosh, wow, that was for me and I get it, you know. And you're only getting a little piece of it because His word is so rich and deep. Like a diamond, it reflects light. But when you catch the more and more of those rhema words, and the only way you're going to get them is to open your word and start reading. And this world's so fast, and we got so many distractions, we could sit there for 3 or 4 hours on Facebook and not spend 10 minutes in the Word of God. Shame on us. Because we could have so much more. You know, Facebook, oh good, you know what your friend's eating tonight. Wonderful, wonderful. You know, what's that, man? Where's the deep, the depth? You know, where's the peace? Where's the victory in hanging out on Facebook? And I'm guilty of it. I'm addicted to it as much as the next person, and I got to check myself on that because I'd rather be in heaven, you know, walking with God or go on some adventure walking with God. So anyway, I'm going to end it here. And if there's anybody in this room, because this is one of my gifts, I'm supposed to be an evangelist, and I think I am. So if there's anybody in here that has never asked Jesus Christ into your heart, and you would like to do that, I would like to talk to you and pray with you and get that done. If there's anybody in this room that has ever heard about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you know, it's not over. You know, it's not done just when you get saved. I mean, you can sit there for years in one place, or you can start launching out and taking risks and trying some other stuff. See, because I'm a risk taker, the Spirit got a hold of me one time and said, John, you take all these risks on the earth. You know, you're here walking on trestles, you're, you know, diving off a 40-foot cliff. Why don't you take some risks in the Spirit? And I started thinking, really? Why don't I? Why don't I do some stuff that my religious background told me isn't possible? Which I got at this in this ministry, in this room. And there's a whole lot of people that don't believe what we believe. Okay, because they're stuck in some sort of religious baggage lie that the enemy's locked them into. But that doesn't have to be that way. Do you know that he said, he told his apostles to wait for the Holy Spirit to come down and manifest on them before they should go out into the world? There's a power called dunamis power. Dunamis power, that's where we get the word dynamite. We can have more power than we've ever had if we ask Jesus to baptize us in the Holy Spirit. If you haven't done that yet, and you would like to settle that tonight, I'd be happy to pray with you. Ask maybe Joe or something to come down. We'll anoint you with oil, and we'll get that job done, because there's so much more. You know, see,
we're a stubborn people sometimes. We don't know how to receive. We can give, but we don't know how to receive. And he wants to give us so much more than we've ever had.